Hello and welcome to episode 332 of the Mark and Me podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark. Now, joining me on today's episode is the actress Michelle Ryan. You may know her for her time on EastEnders, you may know her for Bionic Woman, but on today's episode, we do discuss both of these, but we also talk about her brand new film, Frankenstein Legacy. This is out right now, and you can watch it on Google Play, Amazon Prime, Apple TV. You may remember only a few months ago, I had Philip Martin Brown on the podcast, and we did discuss this film because he's also in it. But at that stage, we weren't allowed to talk about it. But don't worry, on today's episode, me and Michelle get to talk about it in great detail. But as always, I always like to touch base and talk about my last episode. On episode 331, I was joined by the film director, Luke Hanlon. A massive thank you to everyone that tuned in and checked it out. It means a lot. And as always, the numbers were great and the response was fantastic. So thank you again. But today, it's all about Michelle Ryan. So I think the best thing to do is to get straight to it. So here's me and Michelle talking all things film. Morning, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
It's very nice to meet you, and thank you for taking the time to join me on the Mark and Me podcast.
You're welcome.
I've done the podcast now for 7 years, over 300 episodes, but I always like to ask the same question to every guest that comes on. Okay. I'm always intrigued what it was that got you into acting. So when you were a kid, was there a favourite TV show or film that you remember watching that made you fall in love with the idea of being an actor?
I actually went to see Grease in the West End.
Amazing.
And just seeing everybody up on stage, having so much fun, and the colours and the music. I was just like, I think I was 10 and I was like, that is what I want to do with my life.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a hell of a great one to start with. And that's something, I suppose, at that age, it's just so colourful and so vibrant, and so kind of the energy behind a performance in the theatre is so much more than the cinema, isn't it? It's just, it's in real life. So it gives you that idea of, I could probably do that. That seems real.
Yeah, I guess I'd never thought of it that way. But like the actual being so close to the stage or in the stalls, and I was just like, I don't know, just the energy. I was like, I want to be a part of that.
Did your family kind of take that seriously? Because sometimes when you turn around to your parents, and I've said this on a few podcasts, but to turn around to your mom and dad and say, I want to be an actor, or I want to be a rock star or something, it's kind of a dream. So a lot of parents would be like, well, maybe get a real job first, maybe look at that as a hobby and see what happens. Or were they very kind of supportive and kind of saw the vision that you saw?
Luckily, they were like, you can do it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and very much like anything is possible. So that was kind of what I was surrounded with when I was younger, that anything is possible, and there weren't really limitations on that. So I kind of went into the world thinking like, well, I can do it. So I got on to the books of an agency and started auditioning when I was like 14, 15. Which is actually really young. I only kind of realized that.
It is when you now kind of in hindsight think, Jesus.
Yeah. I remember actually my first kiss, my first like snog, actually at an audition for a music video, and I didn't realize that you were meant to like, you know, kiss properly. I didn't even, so I came out and I think the guy was a bit flushed and I was like blushing, and I just had no idea that you were meant to like just sort of like kind of technically do it. Yeah. I just was clueless at that age.
I love that. That's like, you remember when like people sit around and say, can you remember your first kiss? And some people are like, oh, I was at school and I met this girl and it was like, you know, by the PE sheds or something, or a school disco. And yours is like at an audition where I fully kissed a guy in a music video.
That came to my mind because it's like those moments that kind of like pivotal. Like I found out about my GCSE results when I was at EastEnders, like in the like lobby, and
wow.
Somebody called through and was just like, it was really sweet actually. One of the lovely I think it was one of the producers just said, oh, you know, your parents are called and you've got your GCSE results. So all these moments kind of happened whilst working in a way.
I mean, EastEnders is something we can't obviously not talk about. It's been a big part of your life, and you must be very proud to look back on your work on that show for many years and become such a an icon, really, and such a great character, part of the Slater family and everything. Was it an experience that you're so, you know, you have such fond memories looking back on? Because it's been one of the best British shows ever, hasn't it? That's been so consistent.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that even through all the other jobs that I've done, that was the hardest that I think I've ever worked.
Yeah.
Because the schedule is full on and you're playing like a character that, even with the accent, I did a film recently and we just did some ADR and I really had to like get corrected on the accent. So the fact that I did that for 5 years, again, I was sort of like, wow, that was something that I just did, and I didn't really think much of it, but it's a real challenge. I think technically as well, everything about it, now looking back, I'm like, that was the best sort of like apprenticeship and the best start. And also, I have so much admiration for people who are working in soaps and having done it myself, because I don't think you're ever going to be in a situation where you're challenged in that way.
No. It blew my mind, actually. Before this week, I was scheduling and looking at all my interviews ahead for the week, and I thought, oh yeah, EastEnders, that must have been about 10 years ago that you played the part of Zoe. Yeah, and I looked and I was like, it's 19 years since you left. And I was like, what?
Oh, like, yeah, I know, time. My markers are like from Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
So when I came back from the States from doing that, that's kind of like a marker in time. So that was like, I think 17 years. So I just, it feels like a few years ago. It feels like 5 years ago I left, and then a few years ago I came back from Bionic Woman. It's sort of, I don't know what's happened to that time.
I always, everything to me is just a couple of years ago. And anything that's, you know, England won the World Cup, 10 years ago. Everything's just, you know, a few years ago. But Bionic Woman, I mean, that was a great show. And to go over to America must have been probably quite scary. I can imagine being in your mindset, working on quite a lot of TV series beforehand, but that is a big step, isn't it? With the production, the value, the American culture, the kind of, it's like Hollywood, isn't it? It must have been a huge eye-opener for you to kind of take that big step.
It was, and it still to this day was one of the best things that I've ever been part of. And just the training that I underwent, like the Krav Maga training, that has stayed with me through everything since, because it's sort of like we did training in like a darkened room, and I was working with knives and with guns, and not real ones, but like and it's sort of, it's unlike anything that I've done since, and working with such a brilliant company of actors, that was the other thing. Like, everything works on a bigger scale over there, I found. And as you mentioned, the production values, it was a huge budget, and every episode was a huge budget. And it was like brilliant. It was just a brilliant experience.
Does it feel real? Does it sometimes look back at like, did that really happen? Because it was such a huge occasion, and now every show that you fall in love with on telly doesn't get continued. You know, all these big amazing shows on Netflix don't make it past the second series. So to look back at that time and know that series, with the production, with the budget, with the whole everything that went with it, I know it's 17 years ago, but it was a time when TV was, I remember staying up and watching that, X-Files, some of these incredible TV shows that were just, it just seemed like one of the best generations of TV.
I agree. I think it was unique, and I was really like full of trepidation about like taking the role. And then there was part of me that was instinctively like, you need to do this. If you don't take this opportunity, then it won't come around again. So sometimes you're really unsure about like signing the contract. And the other thing was as well, as you mentioned, now television has a really quick sort of end goal. Like sometimes it's just one season. Whereas back then it was, you were signing like a 7-year contract. And
it's insane, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's sort of like something like the X-Files. I only discovered when I came back from doing Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
And I was like, you mentioned it, and I was just like, wow, it was such, and I actually met Gillian Anderson before watching it. So now I've had this, again, there are so many moments where I'm like, wow, I got to meet Gillian Anderson, and then I've watched The X-Files like years later, and I'm like, she was so good in it, and it was such an incredible series.
Yeah, and it lasted like, I think, 9 seasons, which is just unheard of now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you see like the, I think like Law and Order, and I think shows like that go on. There's another show that my parents watch that I know that it's just been like, there are like rare occasions where it goes past 5 years. But I think you're right that when I look back and sort of realize that it had that sort of stature and it had that moment in time, I feel really grateful. And just there were so many funny moments as well, like being over in LA and doing press and then having someone shout out, "Zoe!" I was like, it's so funny. There's like parts like, fans like working out when I came back from press tours and being at the airport for Bionic Woman, and then someone else in New York, I think it was, or LA, and sort of being like, "Zoe, EastEnders." So it's just, it's amazing. And then being, I was in filming in Malta, and then someone else, a fan, like with their family, were talking about Doctor Who. And so it's amazing when you travel, you think that you're traveling incognito, and then I love it though. You're like connecting with different people all over the world. It's
Doctor
amazing.
Who fans, I think, are probably. I've been to some Comic Cons and stuff like that, and done press at events, and I think those fans are on another level. Unbelievable fans, very dedicated, and it's amazing to see. But they are like the love they have for anyone that's ever been in one episode, even if it's a voiceover, you're a hero instantly to their fan base.
Yeah, and playing Lady Christina D'Souza was again like a gift from Russell T Davis. It was like it came very quickly after Bionic Woman, and there was sort of again some stunts involved, and it felt like the perfect fit. It was almost like someone said, "Oh, what kind of character?" And it was almost like, I don't know if, I don't think it was written with me in mind, but it felt like it just was meant to be.
And how's the last few years? Because I've seen you've obviously done some sort of mini series, some shorts, a few TV shows, and then even a podcast series. But you've kind of had like a couple of years off in between and stuff. Are you just enjoying life and taking time out and not focusing too much on being too busy? You're trying to get a good work-life balance?
Well, I've actually been writing
Lovely.
and been like painting and doing lots of creative things whilst waiting for the right project. I think that there are sort of like transitions in each career, and I feel like it would have been very easy for me to go down a certain path, and I've just kind of sort of diverted a bit, and I'm just finding. I've actually moved agents. So I've recently signed with a new agent. So it just feels like a kind of different, it really feels like a different era, and a kind of like sort of collective of so many different experiences. And I think at this, I'm turning 40 this year. So it's kind of like that milestone really. And I just know what I want to be doing.
That's good.
It feels like it just felt like time for a change. So to make those transitions actually takes a lot more time than you would think.
I'm 42 in a week's time and I still have no idea what I want to do. So if you're at 14, you've now started to work out exactly where you want to be and what you want to do, then you're ahead of me, which is great.
Wow. So what star sign would that make you?
Pisces.
Are you a Pisces? Okay, Taurus.
Oh, okay, cool. But actually leads quite nicely. So I had Philip Martin Brown come on the podcast about 6 months ago, and I was talking to him about what he had coming up, and he couldn't talk to me in great detail about Frankenstein Legacy because it was all kind of under wraps and stuff. But now obviously we can talk about it. So I was really intrigued. You said you had a new agent, so maybe it came through that, but how did the project of Frankenstein Legacy come about for you?
Well, I had a kind of run of two really brilliant offers in the same year, which was 2022. So one was Frankenstein, and it was something that just came through my agency, and I just loved it. I love period pieces, and the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is a story that I've always been intrigued by. And Lady Charlotte, I think it was meant to be played by an older actress, but then they came in and offered to me, so I got lucky there. And it was just, I just really love the script. There's this big monologue that she has, And she's this sort of woman who's on a quest and nothing is going to get in her way. And I kind of like being able to dip into projects and just sort of, I think there's a freedom in that. So that's sort of how I kind of found, well, it found me really, the project.
And was it great to get back into a big film after doing quite a lot of TV and shorts? Was it like another challenge? Because I seen you done a couple of shorts back in 3-4 years ago in a TV miniseries and another short. So was it nice to then take the step back into the world of a bigger production?
Yeah, it definitely, and sort of, we did lots of night shoots and it was a really great cast. And it was just, we were filming in lovely locations. And it just felt like very much like coming home in a way.
Yeah.
Lots of the shorts I've done have been kind of experimental, or one of them was really dark. So actually to kind of, to be back doing something that felt very British and very kind of very vintage was really, it was just, it, and all the costumes as well, we had such a brilliant costume designer, and just the moment as an actor you put on the costumes, you kind of, you just become that character, really.
It's amazing. And kind of, how's the next, you said you had a couple of big offers come through. I saw only the other day, I think, on your website about Finding My Voice, which you obviously got coming up as well, which is in post-production with that. And then obviously Frankenstein, is there much more to do in the future, or are you just kind of seeing what else is out there? I mean, that's quite a lot in, isn't it, over the last 12 months?
Yeah, Finding My Voice is a real passion project as well, because the character, I mean, equally, I loved Lady Charlotte. I think that I just, yeah, I really loved like doing that sort of period piece. And but equally with Finding My Voice, it's a completely different character. It's modern. She has some mental health issues and suffers from like alcoholism. I know some people like it's not a disease, but it's, having done lots of research into the character, and it's sort of a really, it was a really, whereas Lady Charlotte was very much in control, this character is completely out of control.
Yeah.
So it's, I like to be challenged, but I didn't realize how much of a challenge it would be. And the people involved, again, a really brilliant director, Arabella, and producer Donna, and very much like on Frankenstein, it's the team that you work with, and they were both great experiences in very different ways, but they were really gifts. I find that like you can wait a lot of the time at being an actor, and you can say yes to lots of things, or you can be more like I've done, which is probably like be a bit picky, which has kind of put me in the place where I am, where you kind of really need to rebuild momentum. So to be completely honest, I don't actually have anything coming up. It's very much sort of new territory for me now. So,
but isn't that exciting? That must feel quite thrilling in the way that, you know, sometimes not knowing what's ahead is good, because otherwise you just say yes to everything and just carry on working, not actually have much passion for what you're doing because it's just saying yes to everything.
Well, yeah, I think it's a balance. And I think that you're right, though. There is something, like, there's a risk in not knowing what's going to happen. And I think that I've always been a risk taker. Once somebody said to me, you're like, it's like you're a gambler, like you're high stakes and you go all in. And it's, I guess there is a part of like a thrill when you, I mean, I've had some really great meetings recently, which have been really exciting. And I think there's something sometimes about even just meeting on a project and auditioning, you kind of get a moment to play that part, even if you don't get the part, or even if you're waiting. There's so much waiting involved, and you get, well, I get so passionate, and then you don't hear anything, and you're sort of, it's just, it, you really then have to like emotionally unhook from things. But luckily I'm kept busy, because we did some ADR recently, weekend for Finding My Voice. So even just in the ADR session, I was like, wow, you realize how much goes into performance and acting. And ADR, I know some people find it, would prefer to use the original recordings, but I always find that you can actually improve things. And I just like being around people who like technically know how to sort of do things. And It's just
there's always something to learn, isn't there? There's always something creative happening. I've been on set of quite a few films, and the ADR process is mind-blowing because it can just add another dimension, another level to your performance. And I think it's a gift.
Yeah, I think it's but even talking to you today, I mean, it's I love interacting with people. I just find it so interesting. So it's fun. It makes
Well, come back on. We'll do another hour special instead of it being limited. That's always good. If you ever want to come back on, we can talk more about acting, more about your creativeness. I like the idea of talking about your artwork. That sounds great.
Well, it's something that my nieces really love. So, you know, it's kind of like I haven't really shown any of it. But
No.
there is one piece that I've made that I kind of really feel proud of.
That's good.
Yeah. So I think it's more of just something like I'm learning guitar. I think it's when you're waiting between jobs and you're creative, then I think it's something that keeps your mind ticking over.
Definitely. Our time is almost up, and what I do on this podcast to keep it as original as I can, I've had Anthony Hopkins, Mads Mikkelsen, Kevin Smith, Aubrey Plaza, all the guests, but they all get the same final question. And my last question for you today is, and I'm putting you on the spot, is you get to choose the last piece of music that's played. So after our interview's all edited and ready for the world to listen to, any piece of music, any song by anyone in the world gets to play. But I like to ask you and put you on the spot. I know it's difficult because there might be 50 songs in your head. But is there a song that you love that means a lot to you that after today's interview is all done, it plays beautifully and you think, yeah, that's a song that means a lot to me?
With or Without You by U2.
Oh, I love that song. Do you know, U2 are a funny band, right? Bono sometimes winds me up. So when I see him in the press, I'm like, you're not the coolest guy. But the Joshua Tree and a few of their singles are just timeless. And With or Without You, I remember seeing it on an episode of Friends, and that song just blows my mind. Like the bass line, the vocals, the guitar sound, everything. It's just iconic.
Yeah. And there's something about it that is so connected. Whenever I listen to it, it's like, I'm coming back to myself. It's so simple as well. There's something in like its simplicity. And
yeah, less is more, isn't it, with a song sometimes?
Yeah, it's just brilliant and it's strong and it's distinctive. That's one of my favorites.
I can't wait now to edit this in and listen and probably spend the next week listening to loads of U2 again.
Brilliant.
Well, it's lovely to meet you. You're also good luck with the new film, and I sure our paths will cross again in the near future.
That would be great. I hope they do.
So there it is. There's my interview with me and Michelle Ryan. What a lovely, lovely actress, an amazing person to talk to, so upbeat, so positive, and just a great chat. And as you heard on today's episode, we got to talk all about her brand new film, Frankenstein Legacy, which is out now, so go and check it out, and as always, let me know on any of my socials what you thought. If you're new to Mark and Me, please hit that subscribe button if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or Spotify. I do have a Patreon account, so if you go on to markandme.com, there's a link on there, and on there you can help and subscribe to the podcast via Patreon. What that allows me to do is by you basically giving me a couple of pounds a month, I get to go out there and record more episodes for you guys at home and host the podcast on a number of different directories. Also, the podcast will always remain free, so if you don't want to do Patreon, all I ask is you hit that share button. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and it really goes a long way. And finally, just before I go, I want to give a big shout out to the sponsor of the podcast, Richer Sounds. If you're in the market for a brand new TV, home cinema surround sound system, Sonos, some headphones, or just anything within audio and visual, check out richersounds.com, and thank you to those guys for sponsoring me each and every week on the Mark and Me podcast. As always, everyone, thank you for taking the time to listen to today's episode. I hope you've all enjoyed it. Remember, I have a YouTube channel, so if you haven't subscribed to that, jump over to YouTube, find Mark and Me and hit that button. And I'll be back in a few days with another brand new episode. So until then, look after yourself, take care, and I'll speak to you all very soon. Thorns.
twist in your side, I'll wait for you. Sleight of hand and twist of fate, on a bed of nails she makes me wait, and I wait without you.